Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk listeners. We're very glad to have you this evening. We are hope that you had a very good weekend and had many blessings this weekend and just enjoyed your families and your churches and just did some restful times this weekend. We just I want to give a shout out to our partners, the First Free Will Baptist Church, Pastor Richard Terry and Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church, Pastor Michael Morgan, and the Ladder House of California with Dr. Carter. So we are happy that we have them as our partners and our listeners tonight. We give all honor to God for this opportunity, and we thank Him for giving us this privilege to be on the show tonight. And we're going to ask that Beverly go ahead and say hello, and then we will go ahead and introduce to some and present to others Minister Randall. Beverly?
Oh, good evening, everyone. I hope that everyone had a good day and were able to get home and get rested and refreshed from the busy day. Pray that something will be said tonight that will encourage you, give you hope, lift you up, help you understand that on this life journey, you're not on this journey by yourself. As sisters in Christ, we're here to help you, to cry with you and talk with you and love you, and pray that something will be said tonight that will encourage you and give you hope and let you understand that God yet lives. So we pray that you'll be listening tonight and you'll call in your sisters and relatives that you know and ask them to join in tonight. We thank you for listening to our sister, my friend.
Amen. Minister Randall.
Good evening, Sister Beverly, Sister Lewis. We are so delighted to be with you on this Monday night. We thank God for this Monday, July 25th. Time is moving right along. And just for the opportunity for to be a part of such a great move of God. I call this a movement. And those who are advocating for the things that God has blessed us and impregnated in us to be, to deliver, to birth to the world, to society at large. And so I'm very grateful to be a part of just the assignment that God has given, not only the assignment, but the revival that is about to take place amongst the people. And as the revival goes forth, I know that God is leading his people into an awakening. So the first assignment starts with us, and then it moves into a revival where we connect other people in our communities. And then before you know, the revival becomes an awakening, and the word has gotten out, and the whole world is coming together for one cause. And I am a firm believer that God is doing just that in this time. And I thank God for for the opportunity tonight. I thank God for being God, and I thank God for the Ladder House Network, who is our overseer is Dr. Shelton Carter, and the great job that he is doing imparting the Word of God into us and equipping us with the Word of God so that our lives may be changed. To repent means to get a different mind about something, and a lot of times people are going and repenting, but they're getting up the same way, and they don't realize because repentance actually means to change your mind about something, to see things a different way. And so I thank God for coming into my life and leading me to repentance. And when I got up from repenting, I didn't just repent because I was just sorrowful, but along with the repentance came on a new mindset. So my mind has been renewed, so I see things differently, and I think differently. So that makes me a different person, so I thank God for that. Our topic tonight, we're going to be talking about intercessory prayer. Religion and church has become such a, I'm going to say now, a popular thing amongst people. I remember growing up as a child, church wasn't popular. When I say popular, it wasn't cool. There was a song that said I was country when country wasn't cool. And I was a church girl when it wasn't cool, even cool being a church girl. That is my living testimony. But church has become this big, shining star now. People see it as stardom and People are so happy to come in. Where they didn't talk about being at church much in the workplace, people are delighted to come into the workplace. It's every Monday to say, oh, yeah, I was at church yesterday, or we had church last night. And, like, it's, you know, they carry church as it gives you status because you say you've been to church or because you go to church. Along with that, I've noticed that people at large have start to use all these different terms and put titles on themselves. So you'll see a lot of ministers, evangelists, prophets, prophetess, bishops, and apostles.
Wow.
And then people label themselves as prayer warriors. And one of the things that I hear people say that actually causes me some level of fear is when they say that they're intercessor. And so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, intercessory prayer. And what led us to this topic tonight, that we're talking with you briefly on tonight, was actually a personal experience that I had this morning. I had been before the Lord last night. I arrived back in Dallas. I think my plane landed about 9:55, and I left the hot sun, and when I pulled back into Dallas, it was raining and everything last night, so the weather was very different. And as I shifted from California, the atmosphere, to the Dallas atmosphere, I begin to actually notice the difference in the atmosphere as related to the things that we're facing. And when I say that, I mean the demonic things in the spiritual world, and how we've discussed in our recent weeks about there is a prince of the air in every atmosphere, and that prince of the air is very different. So while Jennifer Ravenaugh talked about, well, Las Vegas may be dealing with this set of things, Texas may be dealing with a whole different set of things, and Canada, it can be something totally different. So for the first time, I was actually able to spiritually experience the shift and the type of spirits and enemies that we were up against as Christians, as believers. I actually felt the shift. So when I got home and picked my daughter up and got home and showered and settled in and all those things, preparing for my work day today, I was not able to go to sleep because the Holy Spirit told me that I needed to pray. I didn't quite know why I needed to pray, but the Holy Spirit let me know, spoke to me, I need to pray. And so I studied. So I studied the Word, and I began to pray, and I began to just ask God some questions about the things that He was showing me, because as He began to speak, and finally He gave me peace about it, and I put on my a ministry that I listened to, and I put the ministry in my ear because He said, keep the Word with you through the night. And I was just obedient, and I kept the Word with me through the night. So I got up this morning. I had chores to do before I went off to start the day. And work starts at 8 o'clock, but I had chores to do before 8 o'clock and still be at work at 8 o'clock. And so I did those things, and I meditated, and I talked to the Lord on my way, on my drive in. And yet I was feeling something in the atmosphere. It wasn't anxiety or anything like that. I just felt something and didn't quite know what it was. And so I reached out to my covering, and I said, good morning, and pray all is well. Please be praying with me concerning this is what the Lord is saying. And so I went ahead and went on, got into my day, got into to work, and I wasn't able to speak on the prayer call this morning because my day started early. I was able to listen into the Word of God, and I was really blessed by the Word of God.
Yeah,
but after that concluded, the Lord let me to continue to stay in prayer. And while in prayer, the Lord began to have me proclaim things over my life, who I was in Christ and what God had called me to do. And again, I yet felt this presence that was there trying to hinder me from praying and interceding, because I was actually on today interceding for someone. The Lord had laced one of my heart and said, be before God concerning this person. And I was before God concerning this person. And the things that God had me interceding for were some very, very large things, some very huge things, some very important things. So in the midst of me interceding, in the midst of me praying, in the midst of me petitioning the Lord, in the midst of me petitioning the Lord for regarding these things, I felt this very, very strong presence. And the presence got so strong that it actually took form. And the enemy, I knew that I was being attacked by the enemy. And the enemy was telling me that if you continue to go down the path that you're going, if you continue to do what you're doing, there's consequences for that. It was almost like it was a threat, saying that if you keep trying to save this person, if you keep interceding for this person, if you keep interceding for this person that I want to destroy, then I, like, something was bad was going to happen to me if I kept interceding for the person that the Lord had told me to intercede for. And so I didn't get fearful or anything like that, but I began to put the words on Satan and said that you're just a formation. And the Bible clearly tells me that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So therefore, I'm not afraid of your form. I'm not afraid of any of those things that you're trying to do, because the Word of God says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So I see that your form, and I see that everything that you're doing, I see everything that you're trying to do. I know the level of fear that you're trying to bring upon me, but I am God's daughter. I am his woman servant. And therefore, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and that anything that comes against me, that I have a power, I have a victory over those things. But this presence was so strong, and it was really fighting. And it made me think about Daniel when he prayed. And when the angel finally made it to Daniel, he said, Daniel, I heard you the first time you prayed, but there was these spiritual witnesses and these things going on in high places that were blocking me from getting to you because they did not want me to come. And so I actually was experiencing that today. And as I was experiencing that, me being who I am, I just kept trying to press through it and myself. And then the Holy Spirit said, you need to call in backup. You need reinforcement, because this is strong, this is big. And so even in the story of the book of Daniel, when they were trying to make it, the angel was trying to get the answer to Daniel, he had to call, as they said, the archangel came to help him battle so that he can get to Daniel what he needed. And so I had to engage the intercessors to start interceding for me because I was in spiritual warfare. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Intercessory prayer, because I hear this term used very lightly, and people wear these labels as an intercessor. Not only they wear these labels, because the prayer shawls and all those things have become so popular as, you know, notations or marks of, you know, someone of power, that people are grabbing these things off the shelf and they're going online. They're ordering all these prayer shawls and they're walking around with them and they're doing all these things and putting on all this outer appearance thing, not knowing how important that this role is. Because today I was fighting for my spiritual life while I was in war. I was in battle for someone else. So this just imagine we're all in the army and we are deployed to Afghanistan, and we're all fighting this war, and I get separated from all the other people that are part of the same army. And I am surrounded by this Afghanistan army, and it's only me there, then you would need backup. I would be hollering, saying, Sister Lewis, I'm over here, and I need you. Sister Beverly, I'm over here, I need you. Sister Janet, I'm over here, I need whomever there. I would be crying out. And so because you're part of the army and it's our responsibility to protect and serve each other, you would come to my aid. And that is what intercessory prayer is. The intercessory prayer, it actually means a meeting that's taking place, having a conversation or petition rendered on someone else's behalf. It is a pleading to the Father, our God, on behalf of the needs of others. It's also the ability to carry the burdens of others in prayer. So sometimes we may identify the sins of people that are going through, and we're asking for forgiveness, we're asking for mercy. We may feel that someone is being under attack. We may step in and begin to warn their behalf as intercessors. We may be standing in a gap praying for one another. An intercessor is one who takes the place of another and pleads their cause. So that means that you're taking the place of someone else and pleading their cause. So today when I reached out, that means that the women of God that I reached out to today, that they were taking my place and interceding on my behalf to close in the gap because I was under attack. And so when we use these words, intercessors and things of those natures, these are not things that we should take lightly, because it is a very, 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 very privileged role and responsibility. But it's a very, very important responsibility that we should not disregard. Great responsibility is involved in the ministry of intercession. And a lot of us have been called to interceding for others. And as we talked about the night watches, we talked about the hours of prayer, and it's very important. So tonight we want to talk a little bit about intercessory, because I hear this word used so often. People say they were waking up and they were interceding. I want us to understand, A, what it is, B, the responsibility that comes along with it, C, what happens when we are not on post to be interceding, and D, the benefit that we see when we are on post and we're interceding, not just for our brothers and sisters in Christ, but for our children, our nation. These things are very, very important. We keep saying, Lord, what is going on? And it's a lot of time what's going on is because we're not interceding. Who is the intercessor for our president? does President Obama have someone interceding on his behalf? And these are the things today when I was going through all of this spiritual warfare myself, these are things I was talking about. It's a great responsibility involved in the ministry of intercession because the Lord did not find anyone to stand in the gap to intercede for the land. He was requited to pour out judgment due to disobedience. In Ezekiel, the Lord was looking for someone to intercede. He was looking for someone to stand up. He was looking for someone to close in the gap, but there was no one to do that. And when there's no one to close in the gap, then what happens? Someone falls through the cracks. Again, it's the highest privilege of a believer. It may be viewed as love on its knees in prayer for others because you have to have love in you to be able to get on your knees, not just for you, but you're getting on your knees because Minister Randall called today or she texted today and said, okay, Army, I need you. So that means that you have to have a level of love that you stop what you're doing. This is not about you. It's not about you today. And that's what's so different about intercessory. It's not about us. It's about the person that we're interceding on behalf. So I call intercessory prayer love on its knees because we're praying for someone else. It's praying the will of God from the heavens to the earth. That is what intercessory prayer is. So today, if I felt LaChandra in my spirit, if I felt Sister Beverly in my spirit, it was my responsibility to go before God. It's not always in the bow position by being on my knees, but just going before God and praying the will of God from heaven to the earth, because we know that he has not declared anything bad in the earth and in the heavens. There's nothing in bad in the heaven. There's no sickness in the heavens. There's no cancer. There's no diabetes. There's no high blood pressure. There's no pain. There's no poverty. There's no lack. There's no disappointment. There's no disencouragement. There's no anger. None of those things are in heaven that God has declared for your life. So if I'm led to intercede for you, then I'm releasing. I'm praying the will of God from the heaven to the earth. So today, I called on the women of God to pray the will of God for my life from the heavens to the earth. It's seeking the presence and audience of God for someone else. It involves taking the hold of God's will and refusing to let go until his will comes to pass. That is what intercession is. Intercession can break us through into a higher, deeper place with God. As Revelation shows us when and how to move in the throne room of God. Intercessory prayer is processing the plan of God, bringing the will and purpose of God to fulfillment. It's bringing God's will down to earth. That is what intercessory prayer is. It's not just going on our knees and calling someone's name and say, oh, Lord, help, Lord, help, Lord, help. Yeah, that may be a part of the prayer, but it's not a 30-minute prayer saying, Lord, help. We are bringing God's will down from heaven to the earth when we are intercessing. It takes us to a higher, deeper place in God. And it moves us in the throne room of God. And by our intercessory prayer, it's processing the plan of God, bringing the will and the purpose of God to fulfillment. That means that I am before you, God. I am pleading. I am praying. I am conversating with you. I am petitioning. I'm asking for your presence. And I'm refusing to let go until your will comes to pass. That is what intercessory prayer is. Matthew 6:10 says, the kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So as we're intercessing, we are bringing the will and the purpose of God to fulfillment. And let's get that in my spirit. I'm interceding. I am an intercessor if God has called you to do so. So if God has called you to intercede, what are you doing? What is your purpose? I'm bringing the will and purpose of God to fulfillment. I am bringing the will and purpose of God to fulfillment. I am bringing God's will down to the earth from heaven. And it's my responsibility and my duty to stay here and not move until the will of God comes to pass. Some people say, why does a prayer work? Because that's the part that we miss. We stop praying. We stop interceding. But we can't stop praying. We can't stop interceding until the will of God comes to pass. There is a term that I hear used that I absolutely hate. I've hated it from the time that I was a child. When I hear people say, if the Lord doesn't heal me, I know that he can. It is the Lord's will that you are healed. It is the Lord's will that you walk in prosperity. It is God's will that you are the head and not the tail. It is God's will that you are happy and not sad. It is God's will. How do I know it's God's will? Because all through his word, he says, above all things, I wish you prosper in me and get help, even as your soul prosper. He said, I give you wisdom to give wealth. He said, everything belongs to me. He said that if we would obey him and keep his commandments, that no sickness would overtake us. There were many sickness among them, and he said, I will deliver them from them all. He said, there's no good thing that I would withhold from you. I've never read in his word where if we're obedient, we're walking in his path, and we're doing what God has called us to do, that he wishes anything bad on us. So why would I say if it's God's will? He has already declared in the heavens that you are the head and not the tail, that you are lenders and not borrowers. All nations shall call you blessed. You are above and you are not beneath. You are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen generation. You shall live and you shall not die. No sickness shall overtake you. If you accidentally take deadly poison, that it won't do anything to your body. These are all the things that he's declared by his word. So what would make us think any less than what his word says? And so we're interceding. We are bringing the will and purpose of God to fulfillment, but we can't stop until it's fulfilled. Not half full, but fulfillment. That means that we have gotten everything that is in his will and his purpose, every single thing, not some of the things. It's not good enough to say that I got half of it, but we want all the things that God has promised us. And, yes, we are the season of reapers because we have so many that came before us that did not have sometimes the knowledge to know how to stay before the Lord until those things came to pass. And so there are things that they should have reaped, that they should have inherited, that they never inherited. But the Bible also goes on to tell us that there are things that we're going to reap that we didn't sow. So what are those things that we're going to reap that we didn't sow? We're reaping those things that those who came before us that A, didn't have the knowledge to reap, or B, they didn't know it was theirs to reap, or they thought they had reaped it all, but was so much more left God wanted to give them. He said, great works had I done, but greater works shall you do. It has always been necessary for the righteous individuals to go before God and seek reconciliation with fallen creation. This being one of the earliest biblical forms of intercession is shown in Genesis 18 when Abraham spoke to God on behalf of Sodom. That's exactly what Abraham did. He spoke to God on behalf of Sodom. His plea was compassionate and concerned with the well-being of others, rather than his own needs. And that's what an intercessor does. They're more concerned with the needs of others than they are than me, help me, do it for me, Lord. It's a burden for others. And great visionaries, great men and women of God, people who have gone on to do great things, are all people who have the heart for others. And that's what love really is. There's no I in love. Love is all about servitude. Intercession is all about servitude. Another good example of intercessory prayer is with Moses. As a righteous man, he successfully petitioned to God on behalf of the Hebrew people. As we go through all the Bible and we listen to all the history of intercession, men and women have changed the course of history through intercession. Abraham did it. Moses did it by interceding, petitioning, going to God on behalf. They could have just tucked in themselves and snuck out and left. But they did not. They cared about a larger cause. When God bless you with the opportunity to start nonprofits and to do certain things, we can just take the money that we get and just go on vacation to Hawaii. But when you have a burden for the people and God has called you to a vision, to an intercessory, we always find ourselves doing the thing that people laugh at, that we sow back into the ministry. We give more. We give into the things that God has burdened us with. We give into the people. But it's very crucial that in these times, the end times, when God is winding up his plan for mankind, the challenges given in Ezekiel still stands. Because in Ezekiel 22 and 30, this was a time when God needed someone to intercede, but he couldn't find anybody to intercede. In Ezekiel 22 and 30, said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, the land, that I should not destroy it. But he couldn't find anyone to stand in the gap. He couldn't find anyone to intercede on behalf of the people. He would not have destroyed Sodom. He would not have destroyed Sodom because Abraham's assistant. He had been able to find 10 righteous men in the city. If he could have just found 10. Moses' intercession for the people of God is pleading with the Lord for mercy. Held back the hand of God from consuming the earth with his wrath. Because prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God. Peter's chains fell off his hands. The iron gates opened. And then on his own accord, he was led out of the prison by an angel of God. Men, women of God, all of these things took place because someone was interceding. Someone was interceding. When Peter was away in prison, the saints prayed to the Lord night and day. They interceded on Peter's behalf. But we are not interceding. We are praying, but we're not interceding. We're not pleading the cause of others. So many times we're before God on about our small agendas and our small issues. Where there are so many major things going on in the world. And so we need interceders on guard. Because if there was no one interceding for me today, I cannot tell you what would have happened because I was bombarded. And there will be times, whether you are a great bishop, whether you're a great apostle, that you will have so many things going on in your life that you need to know that someone is interceding on your behalf. How many times have you went on your knees to pray and you couldn't even get a prayer through because you were so heavy, because you were so burdened, you were so physically tired? So all you can do is say, Lord, help me. And as you're laying there going through whatever you're going through, whether it be emotional, whether it be spiritual, whether it be your physical body, the enemy does not let up on us because we're going through certain things. That's actually when he comes to pound us the most because we're already down. Satan is a type of advocate, the adversary, that will step on you while you're already down. That's what he does because he wants us to quit. He wants us to give up. So he piles all these different things up on us trying to break us, and that is why intercessory prayer is so very important, because when you're intercessing, when you're on guard, when these type of attacks are happening, I don't have to call you. I don't have to text you. You pick me up in the spirit and you say that my sister is in trouble. Let me go in the spirit. Let me go in the spirit and intercede on her behalf and bring down these spirits, bring down these things that are trying to attack her, intercede on her behalf, and bring the will of God from the heavens to the earth as it relates to Minister Randall. Bring the will of God as it relates to Sister Beverly from the heavens to the earth. Bring the will of God as it relates to Sister Chandra from the heavens to the earth. That is what intercession is. We do not leave each other abandoned. We do not leave each other just out there fending for themselves. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. We have a responsibility to be before God, interceding on behalf of those who are rightfully connected. And when we start to intercede, we will see the changes like we did in the Bible days. We'll see the miracles of Moses. We will see the miracles of Abraham. We will see all these things. We will see the miracles of Peter when we start interceding and get on our post to intercede, to understand that it's more than just a really cute cliche to say, I'm an intercessor. What are you interceding for? What's happening by you praying? What results are we seeing? Is the will of God coming on earth as it is in heaven? Are you seeing those things manifest in the lives of the people that you're interceding for? Because it's much more than just laying our knees, blowing snot, and crying to God. It's much, much, much more than that. We have to now become strategic in our prayer. Very strategic in our prayer, knowing what we're praying for, knowing how to identify the will of God, getting rid of all these cliche things that we've heard for 50 years that are not bringing any more change, and begin to start declaring things on behalf of others, on your children, on our nation, in your job, in your workplace, over your finances. Lord, how do I look financially in heaven today? How does my sister look financially in heaven today? God, what did you declare her as? Because I know you didn't declare her as poor. I didn't know that you not declare her in foreclosure. I know you did not declare her in repossession. So, Lord, what is your will? Because today, as her intercessor, I am pleading to you today, Lord, that you will release the things in heaven that you have for her on earth so that they may walk in those things while they're here on earth. And Father God, because your word is true, and I stand in your word, and I know that your word never changes. I am not going to leave. I'm not going to stand on your face. I'm not going to stop pleading on their behalf until I see the will of heaven line up with what's right here on word, until I see these things manifested right now. I'm not going to stop praying for a healing, Lord, until you heal her. I'm not going to stop praying for their deliverance until you deliver them. I'm not going to stop praying for their provision until you provide, because in your word, these are the things that you told me that you have awaiting for, that you have for me, that you've already declared for me, that you've already promised me. They belong to me, but now you've told me that it's my responsibility that I bring heaven to earth, because you've already taken care of bringing earth to heaven. When you died on the cross, when you sent your son to die on the cross, that paid my way. And I repented of my sins. I changed my mind process. I got a new way of thinking. So you sent your son to die. I repented, and I picked up a new attitude, a new way of thinking. So, yeah, you paved the way from earth to heaven. Your son did that, and I accept that it was enough. I don't have to do any more but just be obedient. But that was the ultimate price. That was the ultimate sacrifice, so nothing else is required of me. So now it is my job as an intercessor, as your daughter, as your child of God, as a minister for your for the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is my responsibility, it is my job to now be before you, to be able to transport your will for the lives that I'm connected with from heaven to earth, so that we would know the good, the perfect and acceptable will of God. I have to bring it here to earth. And that is what intercessory is. We can't be mistaken. We can't continue to have all these different cliches. We can't continue to do things traditionally and expect things differently to happen. Again, in Acts 12, because prayer was made daily without ceasing, God is calling us to pray without ceasing. He is seeking faithful intercessors. In Psalm 14 and 2, the Lord looked down from the heavens upon the children of men to tell if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. He's looking for intercessors. Ezekiel 22 and 30, he said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the head and stand in the gap before the land. And I should not destroy it, but I found none. In Isaiah 62 and 6, it tells us the ministry of intercession is a divine appointment. He said, I have set. But it's the responsibility of each individual to take the initiative to stir himself up, to take hold of God. We need to take hold of God. The scriptures say that God was amazed and wondered. There was no intercessors in Isaiah 59 and 16. The Bible expresses in a descriptive way that the very nature of intercessory ministry and a great heaviness of the spirit and burden of prayer experienced by those in intercession. So for those who are carrying the title as an intercessor, yeah, it is a burden. You're carrying someone else's stuff. Who else do you know did that? Yeah, you're right. It was Jesus. He carried it all the way to the cross. Yeah, he did. So, yeah, it's heavy. While we're spreading this title, we're wearing this different title. We don't need to wear the title unless we're going to walk in the title. Because it's not something to play with. It's not something to take lightly. Just imagine Jesus taking our sins lightly. Imagine Jesus taking the cross lightly. Imagine Jesus considering it was just a title. Yeah, I'm the Messiah. I'm Mary and Joseph's son. Yada, yada, yada. I'll get to the cross when I feel like it. Well, no, I know I'm supposed to go at 33, but I'm having too much fun. I got too many things going on, so I'm not going to deal with the cross right now. They can wait another 10 years. Let me get my kids grown. Let me do my thing first, and then I'll feel about this cross stuff. So we can't teach, we can't treat intercession when God has called us to do something that way. If he's called and we've answered the call, then we need to walk in the calling that we've been called in because someone's waiting on you. It is a way of great heaviness, and we have to learn how to release him, and God tells us to release him. I read the book of Lamentations, said, my eyes run it down with rivers of water of the destruction of the daughters of my people. My eye trickled down and ceased not without any intermission till the Lord took down and behold from the heavens. We need to be interceding. Job cried out. He said, oh, that I may not, that I may plead for a man of God, with the man for God, as a man pleaded for his neighbor. Then God speaks of his intercessors, the watchmen, and their persistence in prayer. We have to be persistent. We have to do what God has called us to do. Moses told the children of Israel that in his intercession, I stood between the Lord and you. in Deuteronomy 5 and 5 in Psalms 106 and 23. He said, I stood before the Lord in you. Who are we standing between for on behalf of the Lord? Jesus began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, his disciples, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and he prayed. And we find this in Mark 14 and 33. Certain people should be in the focus of intercessory prayer on a regular basis. So when we're calling stuff to intercessory, if God hasn't laid anyone in your spirit, if you're called to be an intercessor, there are certain people you should always be praying for. Number one, your leaders. Anyone that's in a leadership position that you're connected to, you should be interceding for them daily. Leaders of your neighborhood, leaders in the government and authorities. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2 backs this up. This is scriptural. This is not an opinion. This is not my thought concerning it. The Bible tells us what we should be doing. And we have the tendency to talk about leaders when they fail. But who's praying for them to keep them up? Well, after they've preached a long sermon and they've sweated and they've given you the word, who's giving them the word? Who's praying for them? After you've served and you sit on your feet all day Saturday feeding the homeless and running around and do all the things you do for your local ministries and in your local churches, who's there for you? Who lifts you up? When you've worked the altar call and you pray for everyone else and you've prayed the prayer of faith and you've done everything you know how to do, who's interceding on your behalf? The answer to that determines how far we go and if we make it. That's why I never look on a man or woman of God who has fallen, who has made a mistake. My first question was, who was interceding for them? Who was their covering? Everybody needs an intercessor. Everybody needs a covering. Because if you haven't experienced it yet, I guarantee you something my dad said, if you just keep on living, if you keep living, there will be a time or day that comes where you do need someone to step in and intercede on your behalf, to close in the gap for you. We should always be praying for the people of God, those who we're connected to and by way of ministry. If they're your fellow brother and sister in Christ, we should always be interceding on their behalf because they're always under attack. Those who are in spiritual leadership, those who are in our communities, we need to be covering them instead of always saying what big crooks they are and how they're this and how they're that. We should be interceding for them. We should be interceding for the places that we live, the cities, our nation. True intercession involves more than prayer in general. You bear a sense of burden and a responsibility. Great cries and tears in the prevail of prayer are known to those who felt the urgency of the burden revealed by God. If we look at Israel cried a burden. Nehemiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Joel. They became so heavy interceding for others that their eyes were like, I remember one thing that my eyes was like a fountain of tears, and I weep both day and night. In the Matthew, Jesus records, he said when he got off the boat, he came and see the multitude that he became very heavy. And he began to say, bless are those who mourn. He began to just declare blessings over their life because he was so heavy. Intercession often involves fasting, that we have to fast, because some things only come by fasting and praying. And if we look at Deuteronomy 9, 8 and 9, fast. If we look at Daniel 9, 3 and 4, fast. If we look at Joel 2, 12 and 14, fasting. If we look at Jonah 3, 5 through 10, fasting. And as we're intercessors and we're calling ourselves the intercessors and God has called us to, that we've answered the call, we have to be persistent and we have to have determination. We have to be persistent. We have to have determination. We have to have self-discipline. And we have to be selfless. That we have to understand that it's not about us. It's not about me. It's about the people. It's about the call. It's about the thing that God has called us to minister to intercede on behalf of. So we're interceding. It's a cultivating a life through prayer. We have the privilege of coming to the throne room of God and stand in his presence when we're interceding. As believers in Jesus Christ, we can come to him in our duration of worship, thanking him for what he has given, We can rest in his presence, beseeching for our needs or interceding for others. So we have the opportunity to worship and praise God, to rest in the presence of God, enjoy the presence of God, fellowship with God, getting to know him, ask for our needs, intercede for others. There's other times where we're just listening to God, to seek direction, to discover truth, and discover the call in your life, your greatest potential. And these things are all found when we're in the presence of God. As sons and daughters of the Most High God, we have the privilege of calling him our Heavenly Father. His desire to commune with his children, both individually and corporately, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit that resides within our human spirit. So we need to fellowship with the Father in the very heart of our prayer life. And we need to make time to do that. The sad fact is few believers understand or choose to develop a fellowship with their Creator. And because of this, we miss out on answered prayers and how to be led by the Spirit. We miss out on the greatest relationship and opportunities because we fall short of our greatest potential because we just refuse to dedicate the time to God that God requires of us to have the type of life that he wants for us to have. So if God has called you to interceding, to be an intercessor, to be a prayer warrior, we need to take these things seriously. And we need to do them in faith. Faith is reading and hearing the Word of God. Faith is meditation of the Word of God. Faith is confessing the Word of God. Faith is action, obedience to the Word of God. The results, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe them and you should have them. Mark 11:24. Our weapon is prayer. Our weapon is faith. Our weapon is the Word of God. And our weapon is being called, when God calls us, answering the call and doing the best job that we can do on the call, definitely when we're called to the role of intercession. We need to cultivate our prayer life so that we do not fail God because someone is waiting on us. And we don't want to find ourselves in a situation where God is looking for someone to fill in the gap and there's no one to fill in the gap like in the book of Ezekiel. So often people are too consumed with their own needs and forget about the command of God to pray for others. The Lord instructs us to pray not only for our need, but to reach out and pray for others. In his command to intercede for others, God exhorts us to pray first for others. He exhorts us to pray first for others. We must take this direction from the Lord. In 1 Timothy 2:1, he said, I exhort therefore the first of all supplications, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all men. Intercession is a vital part of prayer and ministry. It creates a foundation that allows God to work in the mighty ways in the lives of people and our nation. Everyone that's on this line, point to ourselves, my intercessory prayers affect the lives of others throughout the world. It is God's way of reaching the world by my intercessory prayer. I am responsible. God holds me accountable, and therefore I must be on guard. I must hear what the Lord says. I must be persistent. I must be patient. I must have faith. I must walk in self-discipline and selflessness. That means I deny Wanda. I deny Minister Randall. And I am persistent and determined, patient, and I walk in faith. And I am disciplined enough that when God speaks, that I do not get in my emotions. I do not get in my conscience. I do not get into my intellect. But I listen to what the Lord has to say by way of the Spirit because my human body cannot receive what the Spirit has to say. So therefore, I cannot work in my education. I cannot work in my certification or degrees. These things can only come by the Word of God, by being in a place where I can hear and being persistent and determined. So this day forward, I would like to compel you that if God has called you to intercessory prayer, that you stay before God and you stay before God commanding, petitioning, pleading for his will that is on earth will manifest itself in the heavens for those who you're interceding for. And if that is what God has called you to do, and that's what you're doing, we stay before God until we see the manifestation of God's will being performed in the lives of those we're connected to, in the lives of our communities, on our jobs, in our homes, and in our nations. So we're looking for, we have the assignment where God has given us assignment. We went into revival where we've touched one or two people, and God is now calling us into an awakening where we touch the whole entire world. And it starts right here with you, Moses. It starts with you, Abraham. It starts with you, Joel. It starts with you, Nehemiah. Those who just have the heart, the dedication to stand before the Lord, hear what the Lord has says, and has a heart for the people, and understanding that you will not always get recognition, and that is okay. Because intercessory is not about recognition. It's not about anyone knowing that you are interceding on their behalf or for someone else, but it's all about being obedient to the Lord and being honored that God would choose you to put you in a position that he can share things with you that he can't share with everybody. Because in intercession, God would take you in some places and he would show you some things that he must be able to trust you with. And when he shows you those things, he's not showing you those things to expose other people, but he is showing you those things so you can know what to pray for. It's not to expose anyone. It's not to look down on anyone. Because a lot of times when you're fighting, you're interceding, you're standing in the gap for someone, everything that you see is not pretty. And God would not trust you with the responsibility if you make it about you or if you misuse the information that God is giving you while he has you in those secret place of the Most High. You're there because he trusts you. So don't fail God. Do what God has called you to do. Be men and women of integrity and do what God has called you to do. The whole world is waiting for you. And we do not ever, again, want to have a situation where God was looking for someone to stand in a gap and there was no one there willing to stand in the gap for someone else. So again, we pray that the message tonight has been beneficial to you, that it has helped you, that it has encouraged you, that it has equipped you for the next phase of your life. And we thank God for you. And at this time, Sister Lachandra, I'll give it back into your hands. I thank God for you and Sister Beverly and the opportunity to share tonight. God bless you both.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Randall. Is there anybody on the line tonight would like to have any questions or comments on the topic tonight? Or just thank Minister Randall for that information. Well, we thank God for Minister Randall tonight, and thank you for sharing with us from your heart about intercessory prayer. And I did want to ask the question, Minister Randall, can anyone be an intercessory prayer, do intercessory prayer, or we all called to it, or I know that you said that God may call you, but it is our duty to be an intercessory prayer, or what?
It is our responsibility from a corporate level that as believers we all have intercessory prayer. And when I say corporate level, once we accept Him, it tells us in Scripture that we are to intercede on the behalf of our leaders and our nation. So this is something that God requires of us. In 1 Timothy 2:1, it calls for us to pray for others. In 1 Timothy 2:2, it tells us to pray for kings and for those that are in authority. So when it comes to corporate prayer, general prayers for our nations, for our neighborhood, anyone that's a believer, the Bible tells us this is something we should be doing. Now, when it becomes to assign to a person where you're intercessor for a person, those are assignments that are given by God because we don't pick up everybody in the spirit. But that right there is something that God selects us for. So there are people that may pick you up. You may be in a group of 100 people, and there may be someone who's always filling you in the spirit because your spirit connects, and they may become your prayer partner and eventually your intercessor because they're able to. They get so connected to you when things are going on, they tap into them in the spirit. Now, everyone does not do that. God has not called everyone to do that. But as it relates to a corporate level of intercessory, when I say corporate level, your communities, your neighbors, your neighborhood, our nation, yes, all believers should be interceding for those things. We should.
Okay, very good. That clears up that question for me. Okay. Does anybody else have any questions or comments tonight? Beverly? We We have a caller. Is that 8598? Do you have a question or comment tonight? Thank you for joining us.
No, I don't have a question or anything. This is Minister Tanya Dunn. I just wanted to say I really appreciate the explanation and just the in-depth teaching on intercessory prayer, because I, too, you know, you hear that so much of people are saying that they are intercessors and that they have these intercessory prayer groups. But oftentimes, just like you said, there's not a lot of knowledge, and things are not manifesting because we don't have the appropriate biblical knowledge on what those assignments are. So I think that's very, very important. I just thank God for the word that went forth on tonight to equip us and to help us to be better at the things that God is calling us to do.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you. How you doing, Minister Dunn?
I'm great.
All right. Good to hear from you. I've been missing you. But thank God for you. Thank God for Minister Randall, and thank God for Beverly, and thank God for each of you that have joined us tonight. I really do appreciate and enjoy and have received that. It is with great pleasure that I accept that, because a lot of us, and including me, I didn't know some of the things that she was expressing to us and sharing with us tonight. So I hope that other listeners have received something tonight and understood, because it was plainly explain to us what intercessory prayer is for and who's supposed to be doing it. And again, I thank Minister Randall for that. Do we have any other comments or concerns or announcements that we need to do tonight?
Sister Chandra, just in closing, for those who may have joined late, I just want to that's just something important that I would like all the listeners to walk away with tonight. Out of everything that I said, I think the most key thing is understanding what it is. And at first, I want to leave the notice that intercessory prayer is the highest privilege of a believer. That's the highest privilege of a believer, because you have been charged with the responsibility of someone else.
All right.
And so in order for us to be able to accept that responsibility and take it the right way, in my head, I have made I have viewed intercessory prayer as love on its knees for someone else.
I like that. I like that.
Love on its knees for someone else. And the purpose of intercessory prayer, it is praying the will of God, not my will, not your will. So when your girlfriend calls you over and says, my husband just hit me, or my husband cheated, we're not praying our will, saying, Lord, get him back. Girl, pack your stuff and go. And this is what we have to be very careful at as women. It is praying the will of God from heaven to earth. Because we don't know what God's will is. In our mind, we're saying, pack your stuff and leave. But in God's will, this may have been the thing that's going to make the marriage greater 15 years down the line. This may be the ministry tool that God is giving her as a lead into ministry at some point. So we don't know what the will is, so we can't pray our will. And I know that's a hard pill for us women to swallow, but we're going to be intercessors. We can never speak our will and how we feel about a situation. It is praying the will of God from heaven to the earth. It is seeking the presence and audience of God in another person's place.
Okay.
It involves taking hold of God's will and refusing to let go until his will comes to pass. I tell people all the time, if it ain't good yet, and you ain't at the end. If it ain't good yet, you're not at the end. Because his will is good and it's perfect. Also, in intercession, it can break us through into a higher and deeper place with God. as Revelation shows us where and how to move in the throne room of God. So it is, so basically intercessory prayer is processing the plan of God. Key words, write these down, the plan of God. My plan is for my daughters to meet Christian men with great educations and straight teeth and good parents and a good job. That's my plan for them. But intercessory prayer is processing the plan of God, bringing the will of God and purpose of God into fulfillment. It's bringing God's will down to earth. That is what intercessory prayer is. And so out of tonight, those are key things out of everything I've said tonight that I want us to hold on to tonight.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That is really good. Thank you so much. I am really, really enthusiastic about praying God's will from heaven
Amen.
To earth. That's wonderful. I'm going to keep that with me. I needed that today.
We all did.
I needed that today. I'm telling you, but I thank God that you came and brought that to me for me to rest on and chew on tonight, because I can start my day off tomorrow praying God's will and interceding on the behalf of someone he gives me first thing, you know, when I start my day off, when I start my prayer, when I tell him that I'm determining tomorrow will be a good day.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So thank you so much, and I want to say that we had a good time on Saturday, and thank God for you all. And don't forget about our Thursday night program, Domestic Violence with Wanda McKinley. God is opening some doors, lots of doors for her. She'll be traveling overseas in August to do some ministering and expanding her domestic violence cause. Also, we're waiting on Dr. Carter to let us know when he's going to be available to do a show during the week. And also on Saturday mornings, you have Minister Joel Lewis, who at 8 o'clock will bring you some word and some interesting people of God to on his show. And so we're just thanking God for the vision he has given Beverly for Blog Talk Radio. And we're going forth in the Lord, and now we know what to do for her. We're going to be interceding on her behalf in Jesus' name. So thank you tonight. That concludes our show, and if you don't mind, Minister Dunn, can you pray us out?
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Okay. I think Minister Randall did her good job for tonight, so I'm going to ask you to do it.
Amen.
Oh, amen, amen. I just heard
amen.
My name, and I ran back to the phone. So,
oh, okay.
sorry. Okay. So, but no problem. Father in heaven, we just come before you on tonight, God, thanking you once again how you love us so much, God, and how you want us to prosper and be in good health as our soul prospers. So, God, we thank you, God, for your compassionate love toward each and every one of us. God, we thank you, God, how you're so concerned for us, God, that you want us to live better lives, God. So we thank you, God, for your word that you send to us, God, so that we can indeed be better servants for your people. So, God, we thank you for the word that went forth on tonight. So, God, we pray now, God, that your many blessings will still be upon this Blog Talk radio station. And then, God, we pray now for the servant of God that you used on tonight. Bless her life, God. You know the things that she may even stand in need of. We know that you're more than able to do exactly that. So we ask, God, that you do your will in her life on today. And then, God, we thank you, God, for the future listeners, God. We thank you, God, for the expansion of things that will transpire and take place. God, we thank you, God, for LaChandra on tonight, God, just for her diligent service. So we thank you, God, for you manifesting great and mighty things for her family and her household. We ask, God, that you continue, God, to increase her health and increase her strength. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you. God bless each of you. I love you with the love of God. And be blessed. We will talk soon. God bless you. Good night.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay.